Well, hello, this is Jeff Gadiosi, and you are on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. My guest today is someone who's been in this business for a minute or two. He's best known for his work with Utopia and Todd Rundgren, and he's also played bass on just absolute classic records by Meatloaf, Joan Jett, and countless others. He's about to kick off a tour with Kazem Sultan's Utopia and is taking some time to talk about these upcoming dates and much more. So welcome, Kazem Sultan.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's good to speak to you.
Pleasure to have you. And let's start with this upcoming tour. First off, in the band, who's joining you on the road this time?
Myself. I have a great drummer by the name of Andy Ascalise, who I've been working with for the past 3-4 years on my solo shows.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, Utopia did a short tour together, and unfortunately, one of the original members, Ralph Schuckett, became ill. He had health concerns, mm-hmm. and he wound up not joining us on the road, and we had a scramble at the last minute to find a replacement, and we found this guy who was absolutely, could not have been a better choice. His name is Gil Asayas. He is from Israel originally, and moved to Portland about 3 years ago. Plays synthesizer on the Portland music scene, and has become the golden child in the Todd Rundgren house.
Yeah.
He's great. He's with me. And a guitar player by the name of Bruce McDaniels, who plays with Ed Palermo's big band.
Mm-hmm.
He has guitar duties while Jesse recovers from a really bad pneumonia. Jesse Gress used to do this gig, and
yep.
And Bruce is filling in for Jesse. So that's the lineup. It's just a 4-man band, and it's a pretty powerful sounding band.
And one thing I've noticed when you go out and do your Utopia shows is you don't narrow it down to just your time in the band. You include some of those earlier proggier songs like Icon and Utopia's theme.
Uh-huh.
Was it important to you to sort of present all of Utopia's history when you go out there?
No, not particularly. It wasn't important that I touched on stuff that I did when I wasn't in the band.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the determining factor for me was if the piece of music was something that I enjoyed playing, that
mm-hmm.
I enjoyed performing, that I thought the audience would enjoy. So it wasn't so much that I felt, you know, any obligation to include material before I was joined the band,
mm-hmm.
but it's just a question of whether or not I'm comfortable with it, and whatever songs I do in the show, I kind of got to be comfortable with. Otherwise,
right. You're a fan of them as well. You know,
you've
got to enjoy playing them.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for making that such a short answer for me. I appreciate it.
And you still play regularly with Todd, and you mentioned the 2018 reunion of you, Todd, John, Willie Wilcox was there. Was Todd supportive of you going out under the name Utopia?
You know, the whole thing is that Todd he always has so many projects that he's working on and
mm-hmm.
so many things that he's doing. I don't think that he can really be focused on what Kazem Sultan is doing because he's just focused on so many of his other projects. So it's not that he doesn't care, but it's mm-hmm. just that, if that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. You know, I managed to become a fixture in the band over the 10 years that I was there, and it became a democracy in the time that I was in the band. So I think that as much as it was something, a project that was started by Todd and nurtured by Todd, it became something that was kind of owned by the four members when I was in the band, myself, Roger Powell, Willie Wilcox, and Todd. And it really mm-hmm. became a democracy. So it just made sense for me to do this. It takes it out of the tribute band. out of that realm.
Yeah, it adds legitimacy to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned how you guys were a democracy in the band, and you all had just such diverse musical backgrounds coming in. You know, was there talk of, okay, you know, before you was like that more prog-centric and, you know, we're going to move to a more radio-friendly sound, or did it just kind of evolve that way?
You know, I can only do what I do. I can only be the musician and the singer and the bass player and occasionally a piano player, occasionally guitar player that I am. And, you know, I can certainly play in different genres and be comfortable playing that way. I mean, witness the fact that, you know, 1 year I'm touring with Joan Jett and the next year I'm touring with Hall & Oates. It's just like two completely opposite ends of the musical spectrum. My contribution to the band was much more on a pop level because that's where I come from. And if I'm asked to contribute to creating music, then that's where my sensibility lies. So while when I first joined the band, I remember having to play music like the Utopia theme and and Initiation, which is off the Initiation album, which is a very complicated piece of music, and it's completely prog. You know, it's prog rock, it's progressive rock. But when it came time for me to offer up music for inclusion on a record that we were recording, I wrote a pop song, and that's like I just circle back, and that's where my sensibilities lie.
And let's go back in time even further. You're a Staten Island guy.
Yeah.
You got your start with Cherry Vanilla, who, you know, those of us who are Bowie fanatics know is, you know, the publicist from his Main Man company. What were those early days like for a kid just starting out at Max's Kansas City?
I mean, it was a fantastic time. You know, you'd never really realize what the impact of what you're involved in is going to have 10, 12, 15 years down the road, 20 years, 30 years down the road. But so while we're in the midst of it, I remember, you know, Patti Smith was just starting out then. Debbie Harry was just starting out. You had bands like Tough Darts, which was like a really original punk band in the early 70s. And Another Pretty Face, which was a David Bowie tribute band that the lead singer was just, it was amazing. And we used to go to places like Club 82 and Gildersleeves down on the Lower East Side and, of course, Max's Kansas City. And the amount of fresh music at that time, live music and recorded music that was being played in Manhattan, was phenomenal. It was certainly a really, really special time to be around the music industry and the music business. Of course, back then, it wasn't a business, you know. It was still all about the art, you know. Sure, you had to make a living, but it wasn't the music, quote-unquote, business that we have today, that we experience today.
Yeah, and you just don't see scenes like that growing. You know, I mean, there are still pockets where there's music, but just that originality and that number of bands that really went on to make history, you just don't see that happening anymore.
No, you really don't. It's just so scattered, and there is just so much stuff out there. And so it's, you know, there's a lot of good music. There is a lot of good music. There's also just a lot of music, period. You know, it makes it difficult, in my opinion, to really grasp one specific thing that completely speaks to you and you hold on to it for the rest of your life, like we did with the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or Rod Stewart or Elton John, or, you know, when we were growing up, that was you grabbed onto an artist and you just you were devoted to that artist. And you know what? I'm listening to myself say this, and at the same token, this still happens today. It just happens in a different way with, like, Taylor Swift or Beyonce or Lady Gaga. So it does.
There's still
happens.
A couple out there.
Yeah,
and it's funny because, you know, speaking of that, that music that stays with you regardless of the stage of your life you're in, you know, Todd was so incredibly prolific in the 70s and early 80s. You were involved in a lot of it. And, you know, as a producer, was it Todd that brought you into the fold for Bat Out of Hell, which is one of those records that stayed with people their whole life.
Yeah, Todd asked, I guess I'd been in the band for about 6 months. This April will mark my 44th year, I think, since I was in, joined the band. I was living in West Hurley, which is just side of Woodstock, New York. Phone rang, an apartment that I was renting with Roger Powell. And Todd said, do you want to play bass on a record I'm producing? I said, sure, absolutely, I'd love to. And he's like, all right, well, be at the studio tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And I said, okay, but do you mind if I ask who's the artist? He says, a guy named Meatloaf. I said, all right, Todd, please, don't kid around. It's like you don't really have to pull my leg or anything. What's the guy's name? He got really annoyed with me. He said, just be at the studio at 1 o'clock. So, and we rehearsed all the material before we recorded it. We had about a week and a half to 2 weeks of rehearsals. And we did all the basic tracks to that record in about a week, top to bottom. We recorded it as a band, myself on bass, Todd on guitar, Roy Bitton from the E Street Band on
the
piano, and Max Weinberg on drums.
Yeah, and you know, as you were doing it, I mean, did it feel different? I mean, did you guys know as you were working on each song just what a classic that would become and that you're part of it?
No, absolutely not. No. As a matter of fact, if I thought anything, I thought I will never hear this record ever again. It was this is the first and last time I will hear these songs. The funny thing, the story that I've told a few times is we did the record in 1977. I guess it was 1977. It came out in 78. You know, I'm a little fuzzy on dates. In any case, about a year after I recorded those basic tracks, about a year and a half after I recorded the basic tracks, I was driving in my car up to Woodstock from my folks' house on Staten Island and listening to WNEW-FM, which was the premier radio station for new music in New York City. And I hear on the radio this song that sounds oddly familiar. I couldn't place where I remember it. And as I'm listening to it, I said to myself, Oh, yeah, that's the record that I did a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
That's that guy Meatloaf and Jim Steinman. Oh, isn't that great? They got their record on the radio. Good for them. That's really sweet. And then 46 million records later.
I mean, it's definitely one of my favorites ever. So that's
a
cool.
It's a classic record,
hear.
You know. Yeah. It is a classic record that has withstood the test of time. And people still, you know, people play it.
Mm-hmm. And now, coming back to the current tour that you guys are about to kick off, you've toured as your version of Utopia in the fall and, you know, every now and then. Any surprises planned in terms of, changing up the set list? You stick to kind of the core songs or...?
You know, I do a couple of songs that have not been performed live before.
Mm-hmm.
I do a couple of songs from Deface the Music, or one in particular that has not been recorded. I mean, has not been performed live.
Yeah.
I also don't limit my set to just the songs that I sang, but I also do songs that Roger sang and Willie and Todd sang too. Mm. So I kind of try to mix it up as best as possible and not narrow my set down to just songs that I did.
And now the tour pretty much runs through most of the month of March, hitting a lot of the East Coast. You'll be doing a couple of New York shows. I'm here in Connecticut. You'll be visiting us, going out into Chicago and a little bit down south as well. Now, again, that takes pretty much through the end of March. What else is on your calendar for 2020?
I just completed a new record, a solo record, that I'm planning on releasing in the summer. And I will get that out probably sometime, maybe like in August. And
oh,
then
great.
I will tour behind it in mm-hmm. September and October.
Oh, perfect. Your last record, 3, was 2014.
Yes.
Your last solo record, and it's a really strong record. I definitely recommend anyone to go on your streaming services or whatever and take a listen to it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yeah, that's the best way to get the message out. This new record, I'm very, very proud of it, and I wrote the entire record. I wrote with my friend and writing partner Phil Thornley from London. And he is just a brilliant songwriter, and I couldn't be happier with the way things have come together on this new record. So I'm really excited about that. But first things first, got to do my Utopia shows.
And now, finally, Todd is someone who's come up for induction into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame a lot over the years with no success by some weird imagination. As someone who's been there along, side of Todd for most of his career, what are your thoughts on the Hall of Fame and Todd's place in it?
Well, I really don't want to disparage anyone who has made it into the Hall of mm-hmm. Fame. It's, it's certainly an accomplishment, and it's your career being recognized by a group of peers. But, however, it does say rock and roll,
mm-hmm.
and forgive me, but I don't think Whitney Houston was mm-hmm. rock and roll.
Yep, amen.
I don't
yep.
think Madonna was rock and roll. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people that have been inducted that, in my opinion, are not rock and roll mm-hmm. artists, are not rock artists, and that's okay. I guess that's okay, but, I don't see it being as an important accomplishment as just mm-hmm. being adored by your fans and making music that lives on way past you do. You know what I mean?
And that's something that you've definitely been a part of, and Todd definitely has been a part of. So hopefully that gets recognized at some point in the future.
I'm sure he'll wind up being inducted at some point. There are people that have been nominated four or five times before they actually get the vote in. So I'm sure his contribution to the music industry has just been too great for them to ignore him. But they make you squirm a little bit.
And again, Kazem Sultan's Utopia, their winter tour kicks off in Washington, D.C. on February 28th, and getting plenty of dates along the East Coast up here in the Northeast through New York and Boston and Connecticut, down into the Chicago area, Ohio, Tennessee. So if you're in any of the areas, look it up. It's going to be an amazing night of just great music. And Kazem, thank you so much. Hopefully we can talk again when the solo record comes out. We'll get the word for that out there to everybody. And
absolutely.
Best of luck on the upcoming tour.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me, Jeff. I really appreciate it. And come on out to the show at the Kate. It's going to be a great night.
Definitely going to try to. Hopefully we can see you then.
Okay, man.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Bye-bye. Bye.